Hi, I'm Rich Newman. I'm a professor of history at Rochester Institute of Technology, and I wrote the essay Liberty, Slavery, and the Civil War for Preserving American Freedom.
All right, so let's start this off with the first question. What do you think is the most important aspect about preserving American freedom for use in the classroom?
I love the way that preserving American freedom gives you both primary source documents and expert scholars' commentary. I, myself, still read Eric Foner's contextual essay for Preserving American Freedom because I think it gives you a really cogent and informed analysis of the battles over American freedom that we're still trying to understand. And then to go from that essay and these other great scholarly essays into these 50 documents that illuminate the various ways that Americans defined and fought over freedom is really wonderful, and I know my students like that. They want to see the original words of historical actors, but they also want to get scholarly framing and interpretation so that they understand exactly what's going on in these documents. So those two perspectives are just critical for me.
What roles do you think primary documents play in the classroom to help facilitate a better understanding of a specific time for students?
I think primary documents are essential to a dynamic classroom because they allow students to participate in the history they're studying and see the past from the perspective of the participants who are experiencing it. So I always use primary source documents in all the classes I teach. If you put primary source documents in front of students and you ask them to think about what it would have been like to be this person, not knowing what the future was like, it creates that sense that history is dynamic and contingent, and it gives them a real palpable connection. And then when you provide that scholarly commentary, it's sort of like, okay, here's what happened. Here's what scholars know happened. So students and teachers can participate in that process, give the document first, then provide the historical commentary, add more documents. There's a constant back and forth that I think enlivens history.
Which source do you think in particular in your essay did you consider the most important?
There were two documents that I thought were really important for emphasizing the contested nature of slavery and freedom in the Civil War era. The first one was the correspondence between the Drayton brothers. One lived in South Carolina, one lived in Philadelphia. One was a Confederate, one was a Unionist, and they really debated whether or not the Lincoln administration was an abolitionist administration. And that really helped students understand the debates over the coming of the Civil War from a personal family perspective. The second document that I really like to use with my class is the petition to desegregate Philadelphia streetcars in the middle of the Civil War. This shows them that issues relating to race were not simply based in the South, but they had a really important dimension in the North generally and in big cities like Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston in particular.
Why do you think creating a personal connection is so important for students to learn by using these primary documents?
Well, for two reasons. First of all, I teach a lot of non-history majors, so history seems big and abstract and sometimes boring. So for me and my students, I think primary sources enliven the history and allow them to see that people in the past had to make all of these difficult decisions, and just because we know what happened doesn't mean that they were any less difficult for the people going through the time period that we're studying. So that's really, really important to me. And then for my history majors and the people who are going to be educators or go into the history field, I think it allows them to deepen their study of the past. A lot of people read monographs and secondary accounts or textbook accounts of history, and when they read the documents, they realize that the past they're studying is much more complex, much more visceral, much more exciting.
What do you think are some misconceptions like high school students might have concerning this topic of your essay?
I've taught high school students in a whole series of settings, from advanced placement to folks in elementary and middle school, and what they often think is that slavery was not a big issue in the coming of the Civil War. It only became a big deal after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. And another thing that they think is that enslaved people were not resisting bondage before the Civil War. So I try to use documents to get away from these misconceptions. I try to show them that people like Frederick Douglass were not only fighting bondage, but once they got out of slavery, they published autobiographies to get more people to realize how harsh bondage was. I try to show them that in the South, you had a lot of masters who were trying to deal with things like slave resistance, slave rebellion. And in the North, there was this great debate about equality and justice even beyond slavery. So these aren't issues for many of my school students that you can simply understand by looking at politicians or white activists. I say you have to use the documents to understand what African Americans are doing themselves. There's two things with the Emancipation Proclamation that I think are really important. Number one, if you read the preliminary draft of the document, you realize that it's not a broad proclamation of freedom. It's a contingent document that will give blacks freedom if the Confederate states don't come back into the Union. And then the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation also says that liberated blacks might be colonized beyond the United States. So this shows you that Lincoln and people in his administration are really unsure about emancipation policy. And then when you read the final Emancipation Proclamation, you realize that those two things are done away with. Not only will black freedom prevail for everyone in the Confederate South if they can get to Union lines, but there is no provision for colonization in the final Emancipation Proclamation. And then there's the third issue that comes up in the final Emancipation Proclamation. Black troops will be allowed to fight for the Union. So when students see that, they realize that the Lincoln administration between 1862 and 1863 is working in stages to get to an emancipation war. For my part in the Preserving American Freedom essay and documents, I want teachers and students to understand that battles over emancipation and black freedom and black equality were going on throughout the 19th century. It was not simply something that came up during the 1860s in the Civil War, but whites and blacks, free people, enslaved people were struggling to define the terms of freedom well before the Civil War. And then in the Civil War, we had this great burst of emancipation, but as the website shows, that didn't settle the matter. Americans, black and white, still continued to debate the meaning of equality and justice and freedom right through the end of the 19th century. So if students can understand that and not simply look at the Civil War as the key moment for emancipation, then I think they're going to be much better off. But there's hundreds of links on the website, and I think it's a great resource for teachers throughout the country.